That would not be it.
Again, everyone. Good morning. There we go.
The Lord Jesus deserves our praise. Would somebody simply agree? When two or more gathered in His name, He said there He would be. I want to second the motion and carry out the Father's plan. So if you love my Jesus, let me see your hand. If you love my Jesus, take a stand. Do you love Him? All in favor, say aye. Aye. Do you love Him? All in favor, say aye. If you don't stand up for what is right, you're gonna fall for anything. Come on and cast your votes for Jesus Christ. Claim Him as your King. I want to second the motion and carry out the Father's plan. So if you love my Jesus, let me see your hand. If you love my Jesus, take a stand. Do you love Him? All in favor, say aye. Aye. Do you love Him? All in favor, say aye. Can I get a witness to testify for the Lord? Someone who is not afraid to stand upon His word. Do you love my Jesus? Do you love Him? Take a stand. Do you love Him? All in favor, say aye. Do you love Him? All in favor, say aye.
All in favor, say aye.
Say aye.
All in favor. All in favor, say aye.
Say aye.
Yeah.
All in favor.
All in favor, say aye.
Say aye. Oh, do you love my Jesus?
Do you love?
Love Him. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
To love Him. All in favor. All in favor. All in favor. All in favor, say aye.
Tamara. That's a great one. Tamara, of course, sings in our show, has a Magnificent Seven here. It's good to have you. Now, if you see her crumple and fall down like a sack of potatoes, she has a heel that's off of her boots. She showed it to me. Now, we, in the theater business, we have a miracle working substance called gaffer's tape. I was going to put it on there. She opted out. I said it could save your life, Tamara. She said, no, I'm good. So then we prayed, asked the Lord to forgive her for being foolish. And we prayed extra protection for the angels on her. But if she does fall, it's because she removed the... Yeah. It's good to have you all out today. We're going to pray. Lord, we thank You for all the blessings You give us. We thank You for the love of Christ that binds us together. We pray that You'll use us for Your glory. So, Lord, be with the worship, be with the singing. Be with the reading of the word, the spoken word, that You'll encourage our hearts for having been in Your presence. So we thank You for today. Bless us all. In Christ's name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Now before you sit down, shake someone's hand, say God bless you to someone. Okay, that's good enough. Don't want to get too terribly friendly. They're having potluck dinners all over town. Grand Country, Golden Corral, McFarland's. Oh, they're not doing that. I don't get that. Anyway, so check it all out. We've got Gary Dooms is in the house. He's going to come and play for us. Let's make him feel welcome. Good job, Gary. Dooms. Good job. Bernie's in the house. Bernie Burkett. She works with us right here. Love her. Tom's our director. Works on our programming each and every week. Does a wonderful job and all. They both work here. And then also, she sings at the Hard Luck Diner.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, you do.
This year, be 24 years.
Wow.
That I'll be going into.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
I'm...
This won't talk about age.
Oh, yes, yes.
So what are you going to sing for us today?
I'm going to do one for Wanda.
Huh?
She listens to this all the time on one of my albums.
Okay.
His Eye on the Sparrow.
Yeah,
so
good song.
I'm going to do it for
all right, Bernie.
Today. Thanks. Should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven my portion. A constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. So I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. So I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches, and I know He watches, and I know He
Boy, that's the tightest embouchure in the business right there, I'm telling you. That was great. Thank you, Gary. We have Forrest Herzog in the house. Also in the back in the green room, little Wayne. Wayne, right?
Uh-huh.
Wayne, what's his middle name?
Ray.
Huh?
Ray. R-A-Y.
Boy, that's going to be a... Wayne,
so
Wayne,
trouble,
Wayne.
He's got a good middle name, Wayne Ray.
Wayne Ray.
He knows he's in trouble.
You have to say it correctly. Ray. Yeah. Okay. Wayne Ray. Oh, yeah. And Brianna's here. It's just good to have them. That little baby is so cute. They put a picture up on Facebook and he was like, because it was kind of shortly after Christmas and had his little Christmas outfit on. And he was smiling like this. No hair. I said, look at that bald beardless Santa. Cutest little thing. Anyway, we're so happy for you guys. So happy he's here with us today. What are you going to sing for us?
I'm going to do Greatly Blessed and Highly Favored.
We love him. Come on, let's welcome Forrest back here.
Greatly blessed and highly favored, imperfect but forgiven child of God. I'm greatly blessed and highly favored, imperfect but forgiven child of God. I'm greatly blessed and highly favored, imperfect but forgiven child of God. I'm greatly blessed and highly favored, imperfect but forgiven child of God. Standing upright on God's good earth, I'm counting my blessings, great things He has done. I'm fighting the good fight with the blessed assurance that the battle is already won. I'm greatly blessed and highly favored, imperfect but forgiven child of God. I'm greatly blessed and highly favored, imperfect but forgiven child of God. I'm greatly blessed, highly favored, imperfect but forgiven child of God. I'm greatly blessed and highly favored, imperfect but forgiven child of God. Oh, I'm a child of God.
Hi. I was going to do another song, but somebody didn't show up today, so I'm going to do another one. So this is an audible, Corey. I guess I'm going to do Precious Lord today. Love you, Mikey, wherever you are.
Precious Lord, take my hand,
lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Precious Lord, take my hand and lead me home. Precious Lord, that I've built my life on. You're my rock, you're my hope, you are my song. You lift me up and made me strong when my way, when it was wrong. Is my hand, precious Lord, now lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger here. When my life is o'er, take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me home. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me home.
Give them all a great big hand. That was a great worship today. Wanda. Happy birthday, Wanda. She's 35? You look 35, Wanda. I'm telling you. And, you know, we don't always feel 35. I sure don't feel it. But I think we got a little cake in the back, too, at the concession stand. If you want to stop by and celebrate and hug Wanda's neck. She does so much for our ministry here. Her and Bill have been the heart and soul of one of the reasons we even came back to Branson in the first place, because they loved our ministry. And of course, then when other theaters and situations went away, we had to go back home and work out there for a couple of years. But then the Lord brought us back, and then the ministry came back, and we've been here then ever since. So I want to thank you for all you do. Give her a great big hand. You hug her neck. Say you love her. Love you, Wanda. All right. Now, today, next door at the IMAX Theater, today is the 26th. 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock, they're going to have a special Gummy Camp USA benefit. Brother Leon, it's kind of the brainchild of Brother Leon and Tim Hadler, and they put this together. It's a special camp to kind of encourage veterans with post-traumatic stress syndrome and other issues that they're dealing with, but it just encourages them to continue on, and it's someone is there to listen to them. So if you can go over there, bring a non-perishable food item, and you'll get it for free. They will take a little offering to go towards Gummy Camp, which is a non-profit Christian corporation to encourage our veterans to continue on and to do what they must do. So GUMMI stands for Glad You Made It. It's kind of an encouraging acronym. So it's going to be right next door at the IMAX, 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock. Tim's going to be there singing and the band. And it's going to be a great time. So if you have a chance today, stop on in there. Bring a non-perishable food item supporting the veterans. And then they will take an offering. So just remember that. We're in the book of 1 John. Studying on it this week. And thinking about it. Actually, 2 John. We just finished 1 John. We've gone into the second epistle. And last week, we talked about a couple of things in that 1 John. As we finished it up. And then we're in the second epistle. Once again, it's a letter. Epistle means a letter. So John the Beloved, the closest disciple to Jesus, is writing these letters. He's the bishop of the church that's planted in Asia Minor, specifically Ephesus, is where he pastored and ministered. And I always wonder about that church. Here he was in the seat, in the heart of idolatry. And God put him right in this specific place to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And out of all the ministers and out of all the teachers, he could clearly say, I was one of the closest to Jesus and I walked with him for 3 years. I knew this person, and what I'm telling you is accurate and is the truth. Eyewitness to who Jesus Christ was. Now, this second epistle was written about the same time as the first epistle. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. These three letters to the church to encourage them to stay away from bad teaching and bad doctrines. In other words, we call it heresy, heretical teaching, which is contrary to God's word and who Jesus Christ is and was. And it says this, let's start right at verse 1 again. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, probably writing to a specific leader in the church that he knew. An elect lady, she's a Christian lady because she was chosen of God. He says, whom I love in the truth. Truth binds us all together, brings us together. Jesus Christ brings people from all different backgrounds, culturally, economically, structurally, all different thinking and their background, brings us all together with Christ. The truth brings us together, whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also they that have known the truth. Not me only, but those that know Jesus Christ, those that have accepted Christ. We all are bound together in one thing, the truth of who Jesus Christ is. You know, I was at the hospital yesterday. George had another setback, George Croft. But he's doing okay. A blood clot had developed in there. They had to go in there and they pulled it right out. It took 5 minutes, he said. And he was awake the whole time. They went right up there, pulled it out. And he's doing very well, probably coming home again today. We'll continue to pray for George Croft that God's going to bless him. I was reading the scripture, Psalm 100. And like I said, I've been talking about truth as we study the book of 1 John. The truth of who Jesus Christ is. And at the end of Psalm 100, I was reading Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. I said, so you can yell here in the hospital. So we were going through all that and just... And we went down to the very end. And the last part of that scripture, Psalm 100, David writing in the Old Testament, said this, and his truth endureth to all generations. The truth of God is, has, and always will be the truth. From the very beginning of time to right now, to the future. The truth of God is there. And the truth of who Jesus Christ is binds us all together. His truth endures forever, is what he was saying. David. agreeing with what John is saying here. The truth is what binds us together. Verse 2. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. His truth endures forever. David knew it. John knows it and is teaching it. The truth of Jesus Christ goes on forever and ever and ever. Eternal truth. That's what Jesus Christ is about. Verse 3. Grace be with you. Mercy and peace. A salutation, a greeting. Those three things. Grace, charis, which means a gift, a benefit. Mercy, eleos, which means compassion or tender mercy. And peace, irene, which means quietness and rest. Through the grace of God, through Jesus Christ and His shed blood, we receive mercy, unmerited favor, the gift. We receive this special pity from the Lord. He loves us and wants us. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, we receive the peace that passes all understanding. They all combine, all three of those combine to finally give us that peace that only God can give us. Grace be with you. Mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Man, John keeps hammering truth here. He is the disciple of love, but he's also the disciple about truth. I think in his passages, in his epistles, he talks about this truth more than ever. Why? Because he's combating one of the most evil forms of teaching that had come into this new church. The teaching that Jesus was not God, that he was just a good man, a prophet, but that's all he was just a man. And John is saying, I know the truth. That's why he keeps coming back to this word, truth. I know the truth, that he was all of God, all of man. He was Emmanuel, God with us. He was the incarnation of God. I know that because I was there as an eyewitness. I'm telling you the truth, and I'm presenting the truth as the truth. The truth, he said, the Son of the Father, in love and truth. Then he says, verse 4, I rejoiced greatly that I found thy children walking in truth, as we received the commandment from the Lord. He was happy that he heard that this woman's children were remaining in the truth. Now, it's tough because a lot of times families grow up in a church. They hear the truth. Mom and dad become Christian or possibly have been Christians their entire life. And they raise their children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. They talk about the Bible. They talk about the scriptures. They read the scriptures, have devotional thoughts with the kids. And when these kids grow up and are older, they become a prodigal. They leave the faith. They walk away from the Lord. It's tough. But the Bible tells us this and gives a promise. Bring up a child in the fear and admonition of the Lord. For when they are older, they will not depart. And young people have a hard time today in this society, especially. Evil is prevalent. We're living in a society that is drug-fueled and drug-induced. We're legalizing certain forms of drugs that have been illegal in the past. And it may go further than this. It may not just stop with cannabis or marijuana. It may go into other forms of drugs. Mind-altering drugs. Drugs that change us and transform us. I was talking to a friend this last week about the issue of marijuana. This friend of mine is a dear friend. He's not a Christian. But he said, I would never touch marijuana. I said, why? It shuts down your capacity to think and to be motivated to do anything. I said, what makes you think that? He said, all of the friends that I know that smoke recreationally, smoke marijuana, They have no drive to continue to be creative and to continue to do what they did so brilliantly. Everything goes away, and all they care about is just right now and relaxing. I don't think this is a good thing for the country to do. As a pastor, I believe it's against the scripture, because the Bible tells us that we're to stay away from sorcery. And that word sorcery in the Greek is pharmacia, where we get our word pharmaceuticals. Now, not all pharmaceuticals are created to destroy us. Most of them, medicinally, are created to try to help us somewhere along the line. But in the same token, I know what happens to young people and folks that get on marijuana. It destroys their capacity and their abilities to create, to move, and to be motivated. So today, as Christians, we need to take a stand. We need to encourage our young people to continue on in the fight. This woman had children that she was bringing up in an idolatrous society, a culture that fostered, and the economy that was built around idolatry and the worship of gods. That's the society these kids were growing up in, and these young people as they were coming up. John was so encouraged because he said this: I rejoice greatly that I found thy children walking in truth. Walking in the Greek is peripateo, which means to behave or to deport oneself, to walk in a certain manner in society. And they were walking in a certain way. They were walking in truth and love. And they were keeping his commandments. Like I said before, I know young people have a hard time today in this society. Evil is prevalent. Satan is real. Wants to destroy them. We've lost a lot of young people. Not so much recently, but over the past few years. And I've officiated a number of funerals. And it's tough because I know Satan wants to take people away from the Lord and wants to destroy us. Life is short. And John is saying here, I'm so encouraged to watch your children, your young people, walking in the faith on a daily basis. I tell you, as a pastor, there's nothing that lights me up more than to see people that are living in the faith, walking in the faith, producing good works each and every day. I love to see that. It's hard for me as a pastor to see some of my flock, some of my children, spiritually, they're not living in the commandments and walking in the commandments of Jesus Christ. So sometimes as a pastor, I get on my pulpit a little bit. I know sometimes I'm preaching at the choir here a little bit. But we have to raise our young people to walk in the commandments of Jesus Christ. And how do we do that? By the Word of God. They have to become people of the Word of God. It just can't sit idly in the home and collect the dust. We have to pick it up. We have to read it. We have to read it to them. It has to become part of their lives so they understand what God's Word says and how they're supposed to live. So here we are in Ephesus. Diana, the goddess, is the bulwark of everything going on in this great metropolis of Ephesus. It's part of the economy because the temple worship is there. The money goes into the temple worship. The temple prostitution, which was big business, the money goes into that. They were selling the trinkets, the little residual gods that they could take with them, the little miniatures that people could buy and take into their homes and set up their own little memorials in their homes to the goddess Diana. They were buying them. So it was a big industry. And John, the beloved, God bless him, he's an older man in his 80s, at least late 80s, trying to preach the truth of the gospel. And he has a handful of believers that are staying in the truth. And so he's writing this now and encouraging this elect lady, this certain woman that was a Christian, that you've done good by your children. You've raised them in the Lord and they're walking in the commandments. Verse 6. This is the commandment that you have heard from the beginning, and you should walk in it. Walk in love and the truth. Sometimes it's hard because we know the truth. And when we see the truth not being lived out, we want to get ticked off and angry sometimes. As a pastor, I have to check my emotions at the door. Sometimes I want to grab some of our young people, shake them and say, what are you doing? Don't you know what's... You're not walking right. As a youth pastor, sometimes I would grab a hold of them sometimes and try to get them back, shake their heads up, get them back to where they should be with the Lord. We have to do it in love. Now, Father sometimes disciplines his son or daughter. May spank them. They'd say you can't do that today, but you know what the Bible says? If you don't, you will not correct them. They're just going to be a mess. And we're seeing the outcome of how we've lived. Dr. Spock, don't spank. Do not correct. Do not try to just let them do as they're going to do. I tell you, that naughty chair only works for a certain time. And time out only works a little bit. And counting to three, one, two, three, gets very old very quickly. All these techniques, all these methods, I'm saying, I just don't see it working. The Bible says that God chastens every son that he loves. A mother or father that is Christian and has young people is going to lovingly chase them. And guess what? They're going to walk in truth because they're going to know if they don't, there's a correction if they don't. God will correct us. He always gets our attention. So it says this. This is the commandment that you have heard from the beginning. You should walk in it. That we love the Lord. That we walk in His truth. And we let the world see that that is accurate and true in all of our lives. We have to obey the Lord. This is how we show our love for Him. Not by just saying, I accept the Lord. I belong to the Baptist church or Branson Gospel Sunday or this church or that church. No. We show that we love the Lord and we obey Him by walking in His commandments on a daily basis. That's how we prove that we're Christians. Not just by talking about it, giving lip service. John wrote about this in 1 John 5:3 back. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. If we say we love God, we keep, we hold on to, we live it out in our lives on a daily basis. We keep His commandments. Don't say you're a Christian and then live like the world. I tell you this. It's better than if you keep your mouth shut. Don't ever say you're Christian if you're going to live like the world. You do more harm to Christianity and the church by saying, oh, I'm a Christian and anything I do is right. It's not true. You can't live any way you want to. You're bought with a great price. You do not go back to the slave market of sin. You walk now in the freedom that God has given you. But that doesn't mean freedom to choose to sin on a daily basis. That means that you have freedom to live above sin. You can be righteous. You can be holy. You can be pure. You can walk in the commandments of the Lord. Now, on your own, you can't do it. But through the Lord, you do it. Obedience to Him. Old Testament talks about obeying the Lord to this whole concept. Deuteronomy 11:1, Moses commanding Israel. You shall therefore love the Lord your God. And always keep His charge, His statutes, His ordinances, and His commandments. So you love God. How do you prove you love Him? By living any old way you want to? No, no. By keeping His statutes, His ordinances, His commandments. What He says, we do. What He commands is how we walk. We do this on a daily basis with the Lord. Moses' successor, Joshua, gave Israel a similar charge. He said this, only be careful to observe the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. He's talking to Israel. To love the Lord your God and walk in all His ways and keep His commandments and hold fast to Him and serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Nothing has changed in the Scripture from the Old Testament to the New Testament. The Word is the same. In the Old Testament, love the Lord your God, walk in His commandments. What are we hearing here toward the end of the New Testament, the completion? Walk in love and in His commandments. The theme of the entire Bible is Jesus Christ. From the very beginning, in Genesis, it was prophesied that He would come, He would save His people. They were looking for the Messiah from that time on. Then Jesus comes, and John is declaring to all of the Jews, because he was a true Jew, he's declaring to all of his Jewish friends and people, the Messiah is here. And not just the Messiah as they understood it, who would deliver Israel politically. What about that? The Messiah, who was uniquely all of God, all of man, God with us, that would save them from all their sins. The truth of who Jesus Christ is. Walk in these truths. Walk in these commandments that you've heard from the beginning that you should walk in it. This is love, that we walk after His commandments. And this is the commandment, that as you've heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. They heard from the beginning as they were being taught as Jewish people, and then the new Christians as they would come, the Gentiles. They heard from the beginning that Jesus was all about love. So the New Testament backs up the Old Testament. From the beginning, you've heard this, that we walk in love and in His commandments. And this is the commandment that you've heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. We love Him, so we walk in His truth on a daily basis. It's difficult. It's difficult to walk in truth. It's difficult when the world is saying one thing, when the world looks at Christians and says, you're wrong. When the right becomes wrong and the wrong becomes right, we live in a society that's so confused. When the society says we can kill our unborn, and that's a good thing. You know what they're telling us? If you kill your unborn, it helps on the global warming problem. Because there's too many people on this planet. Don't you think God, in His foreknowledge and in His sovereignty, knew how the world was going to go and how many people were going to be here? Yes. And yet, society says we can become God, just like they did at the Tower of Babel. We can become God. And God confused him and put him at all parts of the planet. We, as Christians, need to stand firm. Mother Teresa said it. The nation that kills its unborn is a nation without a soul. Right on the button. We as Christians need to embrace life. You know, someone said, Dave, are you pro-choice? I said, yeah, I am. I'm pro-choice. I'm the right choice. I believe in choosing correctly. My friend, Mike Joyner, that an actor. He played in The Grace Card. He's come to our theater many times, seen our show. Loves illusion and theater. Does comedy, stand-up, acts in other movies. But does a lot of Christian and faith-based movies. Mike Joyner said that he was born in a situation with an unwed mother. That his mom was young and got herself in a situation where she was pregnant. You know what I wrote him? I said, made the right choice. Yes, Christians, we're pro-choice. We're pro-choice. We're for the right choice. And that's life. Always is, always will be for life. I said, thank God she made the right choice. And we have Mike Joyner. It's making a difference in people's lives and in the industry, entertainment industry. Very vocal about his faith in Jesus Christ. We need to know why we believe what we believe. And we need to do and keep the commandments of God, no matter what. And John is writing to this lady. God bless you for raising your young people correctly. And not only have you raised them correctly, but now the proof is in how they're walking and living on a daily basis. They're walking in love and the truth. That's what we need to raise our young people, our children, our grandchildren, to walk in love and the truth on a daily basis. One more time, verse 6. And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. And this is the commandment, that as you've heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. We as Christians, at this time in our lives and at this time in the history of America, don't shirk. Know what you believe. Embrace it. Hang on to it. Follow it. And walk every day in love and truth. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us and encourages us. Lord, without your blood, we wouldn't be here. Without the atonement, we couldn't walk in newness of life. But today we walk because of you, in your commandments and in your love and in the truth. So Lord, help us to hang on to the truth of who you are. All of God, all of man. You are the incarnation. You are the Son of the living God. We believe in you. We trust in you. We believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection. We believe that you live today. And that because you live, we too shall live. Lord, we just ask you to help us all. We are living in troubling times, but Lord, they're exciting times because we know that you're right at the door. So help us to preach and teach your word. Forgive us where we fail. Help us to hang on to you no matter what. And to walk in that newness of life every day. So we thank you for what you've done. Bless us, help us, we ask this. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I want to thank you all for coming today. We have a couple of announcements here and some prayer requests. I want to thank Tamara and Forrest and Gary, Bernie for singing today. You did a great job. God bless you all. Thank you for doing it. Didn't they do a wonderful job? Give them another great big hand. We're going to have communion in a moment. Just takes a moment. So after we dismiss in prayer, come on over here and we'll do our communion. Sit down and we'll distribute the elements. And then we'll all partake together. We have a bucket on the way. If you're able to help with the ministry, we say thank you. I know these are tough economic times. Just you being here has been an incredible blessing. So we're not going to pass the hat and embarrass anybody. Let's all have you stand. Want to remember Wanda and her birthday today. Stop by at the concession stand. Get a little piece of cake. Hug her neck. Take the cake home if you don't want to eat it here. But Wanda, we love you and thank you for all you do for us. And happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Wanda. Happy birthday to you. Give her a great big hand. Love you, Wanda. Okay. We want to remember George. He's up in the hospital. Hopefully he's going to come home today. We're hoping on that. So let's keep praying for George Sody. It's all shook up. We just pray. They were supposed to be in church today. And so when I showed up last night, he said, I guess I won't be in church there. He's laying out after they did the procedure. Don't you worry about it. I said, you come when you get a chance. We all love you. We miss you. So he's going to be back. Kevin, we love you. Keep the prayers going. We know God's touching in a special way. And you've touched our hearts and lives, Kevin. So we keep the prayers going. Want to lift up Jimmy. Jim went he's having a few heart issues still, but he's also going to have surgery the 3rd for a quadruple hernia. He was coughing so much, he came down with this coughing thing, and boy, it tore himself up. So we got to get him in. So it's on the 3rd. So pray for Jim. We'll keep praying for him. He's going to have it done right here in Branson. So lift him up to the Lord. Jim Haygood, continue to pray for him, and God's going to bless him. Carl and Ann Pulver, son Brian, we continue to lift him up. Any new? Okay. We keep lifting him up to the Lord. They did a really procedure on him. We keep lifting him up to the Lord. Norma Jones' daughter, Debbie, and her son Danny, we lift them up to the Lord. Norma's not here today. She's under the weather too, I saw. Let's just lift her up to the Lord. Liz, Lou, and Kim Kelly, we'll lift them up to the Lord, that God's going to bless them. Lou's struggling a bit. We just continue to pray for him, that God will give him help. Lift them up. Bill Scritchfield and Richard Jenkins, they're in the nursing facilities. And also pray for Wanda and for Bonnie, that God's just going to bless them. They're the caregivers and take care of them. Ray and Pat Knight. Ray was up walking on the Facebook. I saw that. So let's lift him up to the Lord. Pat, that God's going to bless them. The Harpers, Don and Cheryl, that God's just going to bless them and encourage them. Leon's here today. It's just good to have you, Leon. And God's going to bless him. 93 years young. He just passed his 93rd. And just lift him up to the Lord, that God's going to bless him. Catherine Ritchie's not here today. They're on the road. And they're on a vacation. Lift up Angie and Teresa. I think these are our requests. Anyone else have another? Yes, go ahead.
I know this one guy, and his daughter just graduated out of high school last year. And they had her to go, was getting ready to go to college, and she got pregnant.
So let's pray for this family and the situation.
31st, they've got the appointment to have abortion.
Oh.
Let's pray against that.
Okay. Yeah, we'll pray.
I said, let her have that baby and adopt it out.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want it.
Yeah.
So it's really burden on my heart.
Yeah.
Because we don't need that kind of
no.
And then pray for me, because Tuesday I'm leaving for Gillette, Wyoming, for traveling and for...
sharing your testimony of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of human trafficking and
okay.
Sex trafficking. And pray that there'll be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. People will be saved. People will be delivered from addictions, and people will be healed.
All right. We'll pray for Dorma. She's going to be sharing with them all. Anybody else? All right. We'll go to prayer. Lord, we lay all these petitions at your feet. We've mentioned them out loud, so you know them now. So we come before you asking you to touch these that are infirmed and sick, that you'll raise them up from their sick bed. Those that have lost loved ones and need encouragement today, bless them and help them. And Lord, those that are going through other physical, spiritual, emotional issues, that you'll just be with them. These that are contemplating even abortions today, Lord, we pray that your spirit will break through and convict them and challenge them and turn them. We ask this. Lord, we thank you for all you've done for us. We thank you for the blessings that come only for you. So we give all of these requests to you, thanking you that you're the God that hears and heals. Bless us all, we ask this. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Good morning. God bless each and every one.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise him, for he is my help and salvation.
free.